Hello there, and welcome to another episode of Scouting 5, recapping scouting news from around the world for the week of July 13th, 2020. I'm Scouter Ken, and I am once again recording from St. Albert, Alberta. We start the news this week with another story of another scout troop having something stolen from them, but it's a little bit different this time. This time, scouts in Fredericton found that thieves have been cleaning out a bin that has been set out for the community to donate bottles to the group. Based on some discussions I've had with people online, I've come to learn that Scouts Canada's registration fees are, relatively speaking, fairly high, and the costs are significant enough that, between the registration fee itself, uniforms, and then, of course, trip fees on top of that, scouting isn't always accessible to everyone in Canada. To help fund the program for families that can't afford it, the first Nashwaxis, I can't always pronounce these names well, I apologize, scouting group had a bottle box set out for glass and can donations, and this was in the parking lot of St. John the Evangelist Church in Fredericton, New Brunswick, which, for all I know, is the where they are chartered out of. Not sure about that, but seems reasonable. And for the past few years, they have had occasionally seen instances of people stealing from the bin. But the pandemic and the lockdown and the job losses that have attended that have really intensified the thefts, according to the group. Donations have also increased, which has been cool. But unfortunately, the number of thefts has also increased kind of commensurate with that. Enough that, whereas the group would previously have been averaging around $500 a month in donated bottles, that's now shrunk down to a trickle of maybe only $100 a month or so at present. Surveillance footage from the church also led the group to realize that there were repeat offenders. In one case, a group showed up with a U-Haul truck, quickly emptied the entire donation bin in only a few minutes. And of course, the bin is marked, right? So it's not like people don't know that they're stealing from scouts. The bin has the big scouting logo on it. They know, so whoever's doing this knows from whom they are taking these bottles, not that they probably care. The scout leaders with the group would like the community to keep an eye out and to report any suspicious activity in the church parking lot. The Fredericton Police Force has an active investigation on file. You would think that if they showed up with a U-Haul truck, there might be some way to track that rental, but suppose you could even steal a U-Haul if you really needed to. And I think we talked about the troop in Guelph, Ontario, who lost a bunch of tents stolen from a locked shed. Their camping equipment was stored in a shed behind the Harcourt Memorial United Church in Guelph, and that's where the troop usually met prior, of course, to Scouts Canada ending all in-person meetings due to the COVID-19 pandemic. The shed was broken into. The tents, 10 of them in total, were stolen, as well as some other equipment, and the total replacement cost is estimated at between $4,500 and $5,000. They are using GoFundMe. They've set up a GoFundMe crowdfunding page to help raise funds for replacing all of this equipment, as well as to rebuild the shed and make it more secure. As of last Thursday, they'd evidently raised about $1,000. And they are also reaching out to corporations and businesses in their area for donations, or, whether of cash or of equipment. And they've also been offered used tents from a recently disbanded troop in the area. The Guelph troop is, of course, meeting virtually, as scout groups across Canada continue to do. But they are eager to return to camping once they have equipment to camp with again, and once restrictions against in-person events are lifted, hopefully in the fall. The anniversary of the Apollo 11 space mission is coming up, and the Kalamazoo Area Council of the Boy Scouts of America received a really, really interesting surprise gift. An anonymous donor has donated property on the moon to that particular council of Scouts BSA. The property being donated, and I don't know how this is possible. I wasn't aware that there was ownership of property on the moon in the first place, but perhaps I am simply not well informed in the matter. But at any rate, the property being donated is located in what's called the Lunar Alps, or the Montes Alpes. The piece of the moon is described as situated high on a sweeping peninsula that separates the Sea of Cold from the Sea of Rains, located northeast, overlooking the famous Apollo 11 landing site on the Sea of Tranquility. The property, for those of you who track such things, is located about 7,874 feet above what would pass for sea level on the moon, and provides some of the most breathtaking views of the lunar surface, according to the donor. The proceeds from the land claim help support a variety of programs for the Luna Society International, such as providing funding for scholarships and educational programs for students, and funding for the first non-governmental mission to return humans to the moon. I'm not sure if that's through SpaceX or what have you. Interestingly, more than two-thirds of all astronauts have been involved in scouting in some capacity. Out of 312 pilots and scientists selected as astronauts since 1959, at least 207 have had some affiliation with scouting or even been active in scouting in the past. And of the 24 men who have traveled to the moon since we began landing people there, 20 were scouts. Including 11 of the 12 who have made moonwalks, and all three members of the crew of Apollo 13. Neil Armstrong, for his part, was an Eagle Scout, and he carried with him a World Scouting patch as he took his famous first steps onto the lunar surface. Buzz Aldrin had been a tenderfoot in the Boy Scouts of America as well. The Scouts, for their part, are planning to hold a naming contest for this donated property on the moon as part of their 100th anniversary celebration. That would be for the Calcasieu Area Council that was organized in 1920. Since 2015, more than 900 scouts have joined the council. They now total more than 2,000 scouts registered in southwest Louisiana, which is the area that the council covers. And seriously, if someone can explain to me how there was even like donatable property on the moon, please just write into the podcast. I would love to hear how that actually works out, because I had previously thought that there was no real ownership claim of territory on the moon that had ever been staked. So I'd be interested to hear. Bear Grylls hasn't really been going on rugged foreign missions lately. He's been baking birthday cakes at home with his sons and logging onto online seminars instead, because he too has been on lockdown at his home in Wiltshire in England. But this weekend, this coming weekend, the former TV adventurer, and he's also now, of course, the chief scout in the UK, will lead something like a return to the wild, or at least to one's back garden. Scout camps and end of school adventure breaks and family holidays have, of course, all been canceled because of England's and much of the world's response to the COVID-19 pandemic. And so the scouts in the UK are going to, led by Grylls, attempt to replicate at least some of the lost experience of camping, as well as, you know, the attendant learning about independence, risk-taking, and social bonding. And the way they're going to go about this is with a virtual scout camp. Evidently, 250,000 people have registered for the event so far. This includes scouts from Australia, Italy, Nigeria, and Sri Lanka. They will take part in, the core of the event is, you know, to camp either in your home or in a back garden or, you know, some piece of land that you can safely get to and be alone in. There will also be sessions on coding and on compass work and building dens and firing rockets and learning how to conduct a Tibetan tea ceremony. Sounds pretty cool. And then, of course, there will be a Saturday night campfire live streamed from the Scouts Lake District campground in England. The virtual camp comes amid rising concern over the toll of, you know, 3 months of lockdown on the mental health of children. Evidently, there were some surveys done. Around two-thirds of 14 to 18-year-olds, I assume these are English figures, believe that the crisis has had a negative effect on their mental health, the problem being felt more strongly by girls than by boys. Parents, of course, have also been weighing their own concerns about children spending more time on screens against their need for social interaction. And optometrists have also been weighing in with concerns about, you know, encouraging children to get away from the screen and get outside for at least a couple of hours a day, in part to help prevent eye issues like short-sightedness. Grylls, for his part, even though, of course, he is leveraging online to deliver this virtual camping experience, has said, told The Guardian paper in the UK, that online activity must, quote, not become an end in itself. Speaking about the weekend ahead, he said, quote, this weekend is a perfect example of a blended approach. We're running some online sessions, but then we're saying to young people, go and build your camp. Go and try out these skills in the real world. You can still have an adventure in your back garden or in the parks or in the woods near your home. You just need a little imagination. Den building, treasure hunts, wildlife tracking are all ways to bring the outdoors to life. End quote. And some happy news from elsewhere in England. The statue of Robert Baden-Powell at Pool Quay, which was boarded up after it was put on a target list, has now had this protective casing removed. The Council for Bournemouth, Christchurch, and Poole announced in June that the statue of the founder of the Scouting Movement, which again, situated on Pool Quay in Dorset, would temporarily be taken down. This after it that monument appeared on a list of monuments to be removed forcibly. There was a list published online of monuments that should be forcibly removed because of, you know, various historical issues. A lot of this came out, of course, you know, the Black Lives Matter protests that began in the U.S. and were soon seen and felt in other countries around the world. The reasons for the removal of Baden-Powell's statue were his supposed associations with the Nazis and the Hitler Youth Program, as well as his actions in the military. And actually, the episode that we are going to be releasing this week, you'll see when the episode comes out, but it discusses a lot of that. The removal was delayed after a crowd of people, many wearing scout uniforms, gathered around the statue and vowed to protect it. And then, of course, more than 36,000 people also signed a petition calling for the statue to remain in place. So the local authorities instead put protective boards around the structure. After they also concluded that removing the structure could potentially damage it. So they just decided to put a protective barricade around it, big wooden boarded box, to hopefully prevent it from coming to harm should destruction-minded protesters show up at it. On the advice that the risk to the statue is now minimal, they've decided to remove this boarding. So once again, Scouting's founder is able to enjoy his view of Pool Quay, and we are able to once again visit and enjoy the statue. And hopefully it will continue to sit there unattacked and unvandalized for many, many years to come. And that is all the news I have for you this week. Thank you again for listening. And until next time, be prepared.